Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Score!
Mark Grody.
Bears.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
We are doing a live hit from Bears camp. And in the middle of the camp, we got the air horn.
Hey, here's what's going on. So you guys could all stop.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
But the best part about that was Justin Fields taking that shot and then jumping right back up and sprinting back to the huddle.
Mark Grody with Bernstein and Holmes.
Ron, is there anything else that you think they need or could use?
More Mark Grody.
On The Score.
You got more Mark Grody right here. On The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. There are fewer Chicago Bears now than there were when we woke up. The cutdowns have begun. What do we know, Groats?
Well, we know that Rice and John, the big tight end, is gone from the Bears, and that, you know, decreases their tight ends room a little bit. Obviously, Cole Kmet is, you know, the guy. Ryan Griffin and James O'Donoghue a part of that as well. So that wasn't necessarily a big surprise to anybody out here. Some of the other notes here, besides Rice and John, linebacker Noah Dawkins has been cut, and the Bears have signed a couple of guys. Offensive lineman Corey Dublin, also a defensive back, John Alexander. So that's what's going down as far as any of the cuts or additions are concerned. Other than that, a full pads practice in progress right now, gentlemen.
Yeah, I was wondering about that with the game being on Thursday, if they go full pads today and then probably a walkthrough tomorrow, Groats?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, and I didn't know either today. I kind of wondered if, just because of the short, that we'd be looking at a shells and shorts situation today, just like yesterday. But, yeah, the full pads today, you know, they're not making any serious contact out here. They're not going live, so to speak. And then tomorrow media will not be able to watch or be out here tomorrow. And they'll just go through their standard walkthrough, and then they'll head off to Seattle tomorrow.
What did you think of how the offense looked, the first unit offense looked on Saturday?
It was okay. It was all right. You know, there was a couple of encouraging moments for Justin Fields and a couple of his receivers. Obviously, the beautiful pass on the sideline to Tajae Sharpe. I thought that was nice. I thought the 26-yard play to Darnell Mooney. It's funny how Justin Fields handled that, because I thought it was a really nice play. You know, put in the right place. Darnell Mooney, you know, giving him a chance to, you know, go up and get it and make a play. And Justin Fields told me after the game, and then he told everybody else as well, that that's not that big of a deal. That's a play that should be routine for us. And I was surprised by that, but encouraged by that, that they think that that's the type of play that they should make automatically, and that's no big deal. So, yeah, a couple of nice plays. You know, there were a couple moments too. You know, yesterday Luke Getsy talked about straight up about, you know, Justin Fields ejecting from the pocket a little bit too soon after his first read did not come to pass. And then there was a second read that he should have gone to, and instead he runs. A couple of breakdowns on the offensive line and, you know, forcing Justin Fields to have to get out of the pocket as well. So on the overall, it was okay. I think it was probably even more encouraging than I thought that it might be, considering you're putting this offensive line in place for the first time, and the ongoing lack of alternate receiver weapons for Justin Fields. But it was nice to see him have that chemistry with Sharp. You know, in the last couple of days of practice, yesterday and today, I've seen, you know, Justin Fields hooking up a little bit with Daz Newsome. So it's been nice to see him bring along some of these other receivers other than Darnell Mooney, because that's the whole thing. If Justin Fields is what everybody thought he was coming out of college, he's going to make some of these other receivers better. Not necessarily into stars, but some of that is on him to make these guys better if he is what we think he is.
Is Roquan Smith visible?
No. We were just talking about that, Dan. He was not, as far as I could tell, he was not out here yesterday. And as far as I can tell, standing out here right now, watching the Bears practice and all the players on both sidelines on field four at Halas Hall, I do not see, have not seen Roquan Smith. So we do talk to Matt Eberflus today. So it will be asked, you know, what's going on with Roquan? Are we in the period now where Roquan Smith is being fined for
right.
not showing up, because he's right, he's off the PUP list, no injury.
Is he going to make the trip?
Is he going to make the trip? That's another question, and we have no idea at this point. I'm starting to doubt that, Dan, just because not seeing, because he's been, yeah, he was at the game on Saturday. He was warming up with his teammates. He was then doing some individual work with a couple of the trainers, just sprinting work, just kind of easing his way back because he hasn't been full force. So he was present, and he's been present in just about all of these practices up until the last couple of days. You see him, you know, working out, hanging out on the sidelines, you know, being as much a part of the practice as he can be without actually practicing. So, yes, we have reached a new level now with him apparently not being out here the last 2 days.
What's been the reaction, whether it's from other media members that you talk to or folks around the team, this latest revelation that Roquan might be having someone who's not an NFLPA approved agent out here trying to make deals for him when he hasn't been granted permission to get deals done?
The answer to that, Lawrence, is what is this guy doing? Who is this guy? It seems like, honestly, it seems like amateur hour is what it comes down to. And we have to take this seriously, but it seems like, it almost seems like a joke. Like this guy has somehow been employed or asked to do work in some way, shape, or form by Roquan Smith, and he's jumping on phones and calling other GMs. I was talking to another reporter about this, and I feel like Roquan Smith, like this was his last resort. Like he didn't want to have to go to this guy, but he's like, okay, wait a minute, I got to find the phone number for that guy that somebody told me about that can get things done, that he's a little bit shady and it's a little bit background. But if this has happened, and obviously it's all reports and things like that, we haven't heard from Roquan Smith, if he did employ this guy or put him to work in some way, shape, or form, it feels like kind of a joke, like amateur hour going on from the Roquan Smith camp. But he's getting it out there. People are still talking about it. He's accomplished that. It is talked about locally. It is talked about nationally. So I guess in some ways he still wins, and he's just playing the cards that he has right now. So, and I have to say, like, whether I agree or not with what Roquan Smith has been doing, he actually has comported himself pretty well and pretty shrewdly, I think, in terms of what he has done. You know, the letter that he sent to Ian Rappaport, you know, holding out in the beginning, getting onto the PUP list, knowing what he wants financially. It's whether he's doing the right thing or not, whether he's in over his head in terms of what he's asking for. Up until now, I think he's been pretty shrewd with what he has done.
Groats, you had a fairly long form conversation with Justin Fields. What did you learn?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Got to sit next to him at his locker after the game. I think the most interesting thing that I learned from him was that he offered to me that he's working with the mental skills coach, Mike Wiley Jr., and his title is longer than just mental skills coach, but that he is working with him to specifically work on being, I guess to make it very simple, being more patient. Because what he was telling me in that interview is, you know, essentially his want, and we know this about Justin Fields, going back to college and watching the way he played some last year, his want is to go downfield, the big play. That's what he wants. He had all those weapons at Ohio State. He had the extra time, being that it was college, to make those plays. And so that's what he thinks. He thinks big. Not that he's not going to think big anymore, but essentially he said that he wants to, you know, do what the defense allows him to do and then strike big when the time is right, and to be patient and calm and take deep breaths and all that. So I thought it was interesting because I imagine that there's a very fine line between that's something that can be coached to you, obviously, by all the different coaches that Fields is working with, but also that he's taken it up to that extra level of this is something in my head and something that I need to go over with a mental skills coach. So I thought that was really interesting and revealing.
What do we know about playing time yet for Thursday? And I guess Eberflus will talk today, but what do we need to know? What do you want to know about how they plan to use this this opportunity?
Yeah, I'm very curious as to see how much time the starters will get, if any. Everything changes because of the short turnaround to this. I imagine they're going to be a little bit more conservative. So I'm definitely wondering about that, how they go about is it going to be, you know, the 15 to 20 snaps like it was in the Kansas City game, or is it going to be less, or is it going to be nothing? So I imagine the starters are going to get some time out there. I think that, you know, these games become big for some of the other guys like Tevin Jenkins. I'm really curious as to how they will use him in this game, if they're going to just give him a huge chunk of time at guard, or if they'll move him around in this game. But there are still lots of question marks as far as receivers go and many other positions. So I'm very curious, though, to hear how he wants to handle things and go about things in Seattle, just because of the fast turnaround.
Groats, I want to go back to Fields for just a second. Like, you're there watching him last year. You see him now and you sit down with him now. How do you think he's changed from year one to year two?
I think that there's a ownership that now exists. I mean, he's always talked about the leadership portion of it. You know, he talked about that even last year when it wasn't his team. But I think now that he does own it, it is his team. And I think the biggest thing is him actually using his voice more, in a more forceful way, where we can watch and see Justin Fields in practice getting on guys, getting guys lined up correctly. You know, a couple players using examples of, you know, him getting in their faces and, you know, talking about needing to be in the right place and to be thinking and all of that kind of stuff. So I think he feels, being that it's his football from the beginning of the season, I just feel like he has a feeling that he's more empowered now than he was last year, and there's absolutely no doubt. And everything is for him. It's all, the support is for him. The assistants are for him. The backup quarterbacks are for him, and I think he feels that, and I think it can be seen watching him practice right now, frankly.
We talk a lot about which is all, so much of this is mental. And yet what we talked about yesterday, Mark, was just very physical with him. Slide better. Understand how to anticipate contact and or initiate contact differently.
And get all the way down.
Yeah, if you're gonna take a hit, don't take it like that. Like, he's always in between. It's his entire career, whether it's that spin that would get him in trouble taking shots in the kidneys or not sliding soon enough. I would love to see them do it like a baseball team where they bring out the sliding tarp and have him actually work on it.
Yeah, it's ironic that he is like that because of his athleticism, but there is an awkwardness to some of Justin Fields's game, and that was not something even last year. I mean, there's really similar examples. These were things that I did not anticipate. I didn't even think about the possibility that, okay, he runs a 4.3. This guy is an athlete. I didn't even think about that would ever be an issue, the running. I figured that he's got down. The only thing you're concerned about is can he become a great passer in the NFL? But to your point, it was an issue last year, and so far it's an issue this year as well. And I think overall, like the big thing that he struggled with last year was not only the slides and sometimes looking awkward, but just pocket presence in general. Like, I think all of that informs him from that moment. The comfort that he has or doesn't have when that ball comes to him, and feeling the pocket collapsing, feeling the defense coming at him. He doesn't have like a completely natural feel for that. And that was some of what Luke Getsy was talking about yesterday, and wanting to eject from the pocket too soon, and then obviously making the awkward slide, and then, you know, taking the hit on the shoulder, whether or not that was should have been a penalty or not, that can be debated. But he does have to have better awareness this year. There were too many times where, you know, the football was slapped out of his hands or he took big hits. I mean, he took that massive hit in the preseason last year where he was just absolutely blindsided and leveled. And those are things that have gotten better, but they still certainly need to be worked on.
Groats, as always, we appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
That's Mark Grody, who reports on the Bears, wherever the Bears may be. When we come back, there was a coincidence last night at the White Sox game, we think.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But the fact that we're even holding out a couple percentage points that it might have happened is problematic.
Yeah, we'll discuss next on The Score.
Well, you know what, these guys? Okay, next question.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And that is leadership.
The outcome made everything else okay enough last night. The White Sox get a huge and unexpected win, providing exactly the kind of excitement and spark that we thought was going to be a marking point of the entire season. And when it only happens once in a blue moon, you're just reminded of what we've been missing, what we haven't gotten through all of these games that have gone by this year, and everything that we thought it would be supposed to be a lot more like that. But there was a moment late. We're not quite sure if we saw what we think we saw.
Yeah, there's a moment where a fan is telling Tony La Russa that he should pinch run with Engel, and then La Russa kind of then shuffles out of the dugout and pinch runs with Adam Engel.
Well, he was already on the way out.
We think. Because, I mean, right. It takes him a while to get places.
And it was, apparently there's a fan who, at least on Twitter, is taking credit.
Well, so I was watching the timeline of this because I'm a little skeptical. Ray brought this up, too. It's hard to hear. You know, I mean, like, did Tony really hear the fan at that point? Who knows? But in the timeline there, we're trying to put it together, the fan is yelling to Tony as Tony's on the top step, and Jose Abreu's already getting set to take the pitch. Like, he's getting settled into the batter's box, and then that's when Tony had to say, hey, wait, and he ran onto the field. And this was, I mean, it could be a crazy coincidence, or it could be for real, but I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah. That's the thing about
it. That we'd consider it.
Yes.
That we would even begin for a moment to consider the possibility that a fan had to remind the Hall of Famer baseball person to do something as simple as put a specialist in the game to do what he does.
Well, I can't hear a word you're saying.
What Rankin said, though, lends credence to it. The idea of the at-bat was getting ready to take place.
And that was the thing that kind of struck me as well. Jose Abreu was ready to, he was set. It wasn't that he was digging into the box. He was waiting for the pitcher to deliver the pitch before La Russa came out onto the field.
Are we being bad guys here, Dan?
How
because,
so?
Because the two of us are actually in a much better mood today because of the White Sox and their comeback last night. Like, we're feeling that joy. Are we being bad guys by like, hey, did the manager take advice from a fan last night?
Yes. Probably. And yes, but maybe whatever it takes. It takes a village to run a baseball team. That maybe this is like the Savannah Bananas where you get to be a part of the action. And when Tony's on the top step, give your best strategy.
Well, Tony's got to do like the WWE move, put his finger to his ear.
What you got for me? Look, it can't hurt, it could help. And if you lean in, if the White Sox are smart, they'll lean in and they'll just shout it all out. Or you designate a couple people. It's like, section 108, what do you think?
It's like improv.
No, well, a texter brought this up.
Yeah, right? Improv,
it's like
managing.
It's like the Improv Olympic. It's like, okay, it's a job interview, but what they don't know is you're an alien.
Yeah, he Tony's now Stone Cold Steve Austin. A texter brought it up and said that Brooks Boyer should now just designate a section and call it Tony's Helpers or whatever.
Tony's Little Helpers?
Yeah, Tony's Little Helpers, and they like section 131
and they all confer, and then they hold up a sign, or they send a text, yes, and it goes to the scoreboard.
No. It's like, well, wait, could we trust Tony with this? It's like the play cards in college football where it's like, here's four pictures that don't mean anything, but they mean something.
One of which is Pepe the Frog.
Yeah.
You could really take advantage of technology here and vote. You know, managerial move by vote, do 60 seconds, choices A, B, and C. Come on, you can really leave it up to the fans if you want to.
Yeah. We're in the middle of a commercial break here. Let's make Tony's move for him.
But then you're going to get like the Sox math weirdos out there, and
then they're going to do videos. And
yeah, that's a whole subculture now.
It's a subculture that makes me uncomfortable.
Yep. Some of it's gotten a little much.
A little too icy. Like, not friendly. Like, not unfriendly, but not friendly. Like, it feels like, hey, what's going on over there? I need to see the rest of that room. You know? I'm going to need you to flip the camera around.
Where you see, like, the just fluttering into the picture is a Suriname death's head moth.
I want to see the rest of that room that you're in. Not just the wall that you're backed up against so you can do this video for Uncle Steve and Jason Benetti.
I got the answer to Sox math. Never mind this roll of clear plastic sheeting. The answer is 6.
Who the hell is that?
Don't worry about this can of fava beans that I've got here.
Right? Like, you keep...
Or this basket of lotion.
You keep expecting to say, like,
hey, Stoney and Jason, I won Sox math, so let's introduce this part. And there's like a spreading pool of blood. Like just
is he a great big fat
right
person?
Right underneath his feet.
Back to you.
Back to you.
Back to you.
Let me go, mister!
Don't mind that. More Sox math. Don't
come
mind
on. The, come on.
The echoes. Oh,
come on. Kill me, I'm here. Kill me.
Come on.
Kill me, I'm here. Come on. Do it now.
I didn't mean for this to turn into an anti, but like Sox math people are a...
It's a thing. It's a whole thing, Dan, that's going on.
And the fact that Stoney and Jason have to all when they come out is like, that was very good.
Sometimes Stoney's real quiet.
Nice job.
He would like to see what the camera is doing in the back of the room, too.
Thanks, guys. Steve, I'd like to get together with you for brunch sometime soon. And the answer to Sox math is 16. So, but I think you should come over to my house and we'll make fried eggs and toast.
No.
Back to you guys.
We're the worst people in the world. Sorry. We're the worst.
I'm just telling you.
But I will tell you, we're not alone. Like, people don't want to say it, but we're not alone in this Sox math thing. I've gotten multiple text messages from different Sox fans that are like, okay, what was that just happened?
What's going on?
Like I like the videos where it's like, hey, I'm here with my kids and we're all big White Sox fans.
Hey, how's it going? I'm here with the corpse of my mother.
That's yes, there is a Bates element to some of the videos where I'm just going, it doesn't have to be like you in a dark room talking like you're being interrogated. You can just be like, hey, congratulations, I won Sox math. Now back to you, Steve and Jason Benetti. Are you getting text messages from people who are telling you to stop talking about Sox math? Stay out of Sox math business.
They've got their own secret police.
Yeah.
There's like immediately there's a knock on the door. We're the Sox math people.
We're totally going to get arrested today after we leave the studio.
This is Gabriel in Evanston on the score. What's up, Gabriel?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Lawrence. Long time no talk.
What's up, dude?
The thing that I want to talk about is the fact that the amount of time that it took to get Engel onto the field. I went back and looked at DVR, and it took over 3.5 minutes to get Engel out there. My biggest concern is like, what is the coaching staff doing as far as anticipating and telling the players, hey, be ready to go pinch run if, you know, so-and-so gets on base? It shouldn't have taken that long to get a pinch runner out there.
I agree with you, and it's been one of my issues all season and going back to last season, that if you are going to forge ahead with Tony La Russa as your manager, and the White Sox have made it very clear that that's what they're going to do, you have to make sure that the staff is completely upgraded. Like, it has to be, everyone has to be on point. So that they're, if like yesterday, we were having a conversation about Matt Eberflus as CEO of the Bears. If your goal is to CEO Tony La Russa for White Sox baseball, then he's got to have a lot of great presidents and vice presidents that are helping him do the job. And I wouldn't, outside of Ethan Katz, I wouldn't look at the White Sox staff and go, there's someone who I want managing my team. I know that Joe McEwing has gotten managerial interviews in the past, but I wouldn't look at him or Mannichino or Debo and go, those are guys that I want to lead a team. So that's all I'm saying is that you have to upgrade everyone so that they can maximize La Russa.
We've got a quick Bears update ahead of high noon here. Practice has ended. Matt Eberflus is meeting the media now. Tevin Jenkins was the starting right guard.
I think that makes a lot of sense for him to try and win that position. I got another update for you. This is from Courtney Cronin, who said, saw Roquan Smith back at practice today after he did not appear for Monday's hour and a half session. He came out of the training room with a couple of teammates before 11 and stood by the defense during team drills. So, okay. Roquan was out there. Let's see what happens next.
We know High Noon is next, and I think it's time we talk about a sport that is frankly taking over. I don't care where you are.
Sox math?
It is an actual sport that is everywhere you look and only gaining in popularity. But there's a version of it that I think takes it a little too far.
I want to talk about one of the best television shows of all time saying goodbye last night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. An Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
We're here. We are at high noon on this Tuesday, celebrating a White Sox victory that was all the feels, all the fire that Johnny Cueto's been talking about. Celebrating Johnny Cueto, frankly. Where would this team be without him? Where would this team be? It's an unbelievable story, what he's done. And just thinking about how the way that eighth inning felt, the way that win felt, is supposed to be the way this season was supposed to feel more often than not, and it just hasn't. Ian Happ was terrific today, talking about a bunch of different things. And we congratulated him on some milestones with his home runs last night, joining some pretty special company among switch hitters for a start to a career. And then we heard Johan Moncada in his native language as Ozzie Guillen and Hector Lozano interviewed him in Spanish, and then Lozano translated a little bit. It was good to hear from him. Mark Grody gave us the latest from Bears training camp. Tevin Jenkins was the starting right guard. Michael Schofield back on the second team today. Roquan Smith was in attendance. We'll know more from Matt Eberflus as he is talking as we speak. And that weird moment last night when it appeared that it was possible that a fan's suggestion to Tony La Russa resulted in the proper move being made of inserting Adam Engel as a pinch runner.
Someone was on the text line was like mad at Engel, like he's got to be ready to go in there. And I'm like, he can't just go rogue.
He can't just
the
put
manager
in the
has
game.
To do that. That's a thing.
It's time.
Mondays are usually pretty big television days for me. Usually because I catch up on two of the shows that I really like on HBO, and I make room on Monday night to watch Better Call Saul. So in the last 2 days, I've had to kind of come to grips with I may have just watched the inadvertent series finale of Westworld because HBO is peeling back the dollars that it's giving for original programming, and Westworld costs a lot of money to make. Hopefully there's a season 5, but there are no guarantees that there's going to be a season 5. Side note, Tessa Thompson is so effective as a villain on Westworld that I'm afraid to meet her in real life. She's so good at being evil. Anyway, last night, Better Call Saul came to a conclusion after 6 seasons. I think that it was better than Breaking Bad, but it does have the advantage of using the Breaking Bad universe to build itself. I just think the performances by Ray Seahorn, who plays Kim Wexler, who reminds me very much of Layla, and Bob Odenkirk, who plays Saul Goodman, a.k.a. James Jimmy McGill, were just terrific. And everyone that they had around them, Giancarlo Esposito, like it's an all-star cast of people going as hard as they can as actors. When it comes to series finales, there's often a lot of buildup, and usually, and this is how I feel about Breaking Bad, the penultimate episode is usually the better episode because then it's a race to kind of connect the dots and get everything nice and tidy for everyone as a viewer.
It's the Empire Strikes Back rule.
Yeah. I thought that they did a wonderful job of... I don't want to give it away for people who still have it on their DVR, but they did a wonderful job of landing the plane. And I was concerned that they weren't going to be able to because they had so much stuff going on in the 3 previous episodes leading up to it that I wasn't sure that it was going to be done. But if you've never seen, if you want to see a great actor, Ray Seahorn, who should get all of the awards for what she did this past year on Better Call Saul, she is amazing to watch. And I always go back to Sir Patrick Stewart talking about acting and him saying, acting is all your face. And throughout this series, watching Ray Seahorn act with just her face has been amazing. I met Bob Odenkirk after season 1 of Better Call Saul. Chicago dude, like big Cub fan. I was filling in doing pre and post on Cubs, and I met him and I talked to him and I said I loved season 1. He's like, you have no idea what we've got planned. He's like, it's gonna blow your mind. And he was right. Shout out to Better Call Saul for 6 years of wonderful entertainment. And a bonus for you, Dan Bernstein, in the finale, your guy Jamal Duff was in it.
Hey, former Bear.
I saw him and I was like, hey, that's Bernstein's guy, Jamal Duff.
What's his character's name in Dodgeball?
What's his name? Oh.
It's like it's a Patrice French name or something.
Yeah, it's a...
It's a Marquise or Patrice.
My consigliere.
And implied lover.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Maurice? No, not
Michelle.
Michelle, that's what it was.
Michelle.
But yeah, he's did you notice him, Mike?
I did not.
So, not to give too much away, but on the bus, the guy behind him is Jamal Duff, and Dan covered that guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was a bear.
It's crazy.
We are all just parts now of, in sports, of the pickleball hegemon. All things are pickleball. Pickleball is all things. This has been essentially a turf war, not just in this city, but in every city, between what were tennis courts and now are occasionally pickleball courts and now are being reappropriated and changed, whether temporarily, permanently, that this combination of ping pong and tennis into pickleball is so big and so unstoppable that we knew it had to get to this. I did not know that the Tampa area was a considered ground zero for a lot of mainstream nudism.
Oh.
But apparently nude pickleball in the Tampa area is a new thing. There are many Tampa Bay nudist communities, and they are advertising their pickleball facilities and holding tournaments and putting in courts to meet the demand. And this is apparently a thing that the Tampa St. Pete area, with all of their nude clubs and residential areas, is adopting nude pickleball.
That doesn't seem like a lot of fun.
What, pickleball or nude pickleball?
No, pickleball is a blast.
Yeah, I have not played because what I'm wondering is the clubs that put in paddle tennis, because paddle tennis was getting huge. Are the paddle tennis courts now being converted to pickleball?
I'm sure they are.
Is paddle still big?
When one of the things that when we moved out to the burbs and I got to HF and they were like, we're going to play pickleball. And I was like, what is that? I love that game. It was so much fun.
You know who
to do it nude, though.
You know who I saw the other day I just happened to run into who's doing great and is apparently really good at pickleball and plays every day competitively?
Terry Bores.
Dana Buffone.
That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me one bit that she's good at it.
Yeah, I saw Dana. And I said, well, you're either on the way to or from something. And she's like, oh, yeah, pickleball every day. Like, competes.
Every day?
Every day. Every day.
Goodness gracious.
Yep. Yep.
I play one outdoor game of softball a week, and I need 3 days to recover.
I need to recover from watching it. Well, just watching you guys slide on that dirt. Ow! Ow!
New pickleball seems too nude.
Yeah. Right. See, that's the thing. I mean, that's
too sunburny.
Ow. Yeah, no, thank you.
Places where you don't want to get sunburned.
Let's talk about the Roquan Smith situation. What is proper protocol, what is not, what a player can do with someone who has advised players in these situations. It'll take us forever to read all of Andrew Brandt's credits, but he's executive director of the Murad Center at Villanova. He writes the Business of Football column for Sports Illustrated, and I don't know if he was an accredited agent at one point or was a business advisor to players.
He was an accredited agent and a front office person, so, I mean, we're about to get a real good look into this situation from a guy who knows. Professor Andrew Brandt will join us next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.